So hi, I'm here with Alex Sensen. Alex Sensen has organized the seminar that sort of surrounds itself around managing conflict that essentially takes place within ourselves and how to liberate ourselves from that conflict. And some of those ideas sort of extend out of the martialistic, sort of martial themes, not completely, but partly. And part of my interest today in speaking to Alex is to discover and uncover a little bit more about that martial arts relationship that might be a little bit confusing for some people, and they might not quite understand from the outset. My interest, of course, in martial arts is that I am a 30-plus-year practitioner in the martial arts, and I've been running a school professionally in martial arts for 21 years here in Canada. My name is Basil Jay. I'm a sensei. And my background is in Goju Karate, different forms of karate, stick and knife fighting associated with Arnis or Kali or Suprema, depending on what your interest is in terms of terminology, Tai Chi Chuan, Qigong, and other forms of energy work. So I have a pretty long list. So I've been involved in martial arts for a long time, and that's what brings me here today. Alex is one of my students who trained in the past together, but he's also, of course, branched out, and he has a lot of other, let's say, other attributes to bring into the fold of this sort of martialistic sort of approach to overcoming certain obstacles, or if you want to call them enemies. So now I pass you off to Alex.
Well, thanks, Basil Jay. So I'm Alex Sensen, and I've been doing martial arts for quite a long time, over 20 years. And I've studied mostly Goju-Ryu, but a few other styles as well. I'm also a scientist, so I went to school for biochemistry and biotechnology, genetic engineering, and I have a fascination with psychology as well. So I'm trying to connect some of the dots here, psychology, science, martial arts, and try to figure out how we can help people. And that's what I'm bringing in this workshop is some practical techniques and some knowledge, some interesting stuff that you might find useful in your busy life.
So thanks for that too, Alex. So here we are, and we're discussing this, and there's a seminar coming up on April 15th, and I think there's been a lot of emails that have been sent out, and a lot of information has been sent out to those that are within our circle outside of the school, martial arts school. But we'd of course certainly like to reach out beyond that. Aside from that, who essentially would benefit from this sort of seminar? And I think that's a little bit ambiguous, especially with the busyness that's going on today, especially being a parent. A lot of children in our school training in the martial arts, a lot of parents, of course, seeing the value in it, but maybe not really recognizing what could be there for them, you know? Mm-hmm. So here we are. And I think the seminar would, of course, be a real wonderful gateway into maybe looking at their lives from a different perspective or from another angle. I think that's what it would really provide. So in general, give me a gist of what this seminar is about that you've assembled. What's the general gist of what is it that we're looking to accomplish, or what is it that I could get by attending to your seminar? Let's say more specifically, if I was, let's say, a parent, mm-hmm. a parent, you know, which in itself has its own obstacles today. We're so busy running all over the place, and we're working, and we're trying to keep up with this, and we're managing our children. There's so many things going on as a parent. So why would this be something that would be of value to me?
So to answer your first question about who it's for, really, I would say there's two main groups of people who would benefit from this. One is people who are just generally busy. So parents are obviously very busy with work and with family and with all of their other hobbies, stresses, all sorts of demands on your life. So in general, people who find themselves busy and who are interested a little bit in martial arts, who are in this community, I think will get a lot out of this because there is that connection. And the other group that would benefit really are people that actually train in martial arts. And there's different benefits you can get from each of those two groups. So if we're talking about parents who are very busy, being busy creates stress. There's something called attention. And this is what I'm going to focus on in my workshop really is a brain superpower called attention. Attention dictates exactly what your brain's resources are focused on. So how much of your mental power is going to be used for any given activity depends on where you place your attention. And if you want to have an enriching experience, if you want to have something that you remember really well, something you're very effective at, you want to put as many of your brain's resources onto that thing as possible. So if you want a nice experience with your kids, you want all your brain's resources and attention on your kids. Now, the challenge is in a busy life, when you've got so many demands tugging on you in different directions, that attention becomes split. And you only have so much of it. This is a scientifically proven fact. You only have so much attention, it gets split. Your mind wanders sometimes. A bit of it goes in that direction. Someone interrupts you. You have a thought about something you have to do that's urgent. All of those things in your life split your attention up, and they can degrade it. They can create a bit of a problem with your attentional resources. They degrade. They become split and diluted. And then your experience in any given thing is not quite what it could be. So, for example, if you're interrupted while you're doing something that you're focusing on, and then when you have to come back to that thing, it takes you a while, right? You spend some time reorienting yourself and getting back into the groove. And that's time that's wasted. So in your busy life, there's these little bits of time here and there that are wasted. But also, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you get interrupted when you're doing something important, do you ever come back to what you were doing and not even quite remember what it was? Or how, you know, on what track you were on before you were interrupted? So it affects your memory as well. And if you want to have an enriching experience in your life, you want to have good memories of good experiences. But whenever we're interrupted and our attention gets taken away from us momentarily, those memories aren't formed as strongly. So this workshop is all about not ways of necessarily avoiding being busy, because you're not going to be able to. You really only have two choices. You can avoid being busy, get rid of all the distractions in your life, which I don't think is very realistic, or you can learn to be resilient in the face of those demands, which means that you can strengthen your attention so it doesn't degrade. So you have more to use in your day-to-day life, where you're going to be able to switch tasks more efficiently and effectively. You'll have better memory of those experiences you value and cherish. And it's just that kind of exercise that I'm going to be working on in terms of breathing exercises, physical, mind, body, spirit exercises, things that we do in martial arts, but also things you can do at home. So this is what I am going to be exploring with you during this workshop.
That sounds great. So I have some questions spinning off of your explanation. Attention. That's sort of a generic word that we use. At least it's understood to be something generic. And obviously it's got far more layers to it. Mm-hmm. So we go through the world every day. You know, we say my attention, her attention, this attention, your attention. And then it's sort of, we see it as this generic exchange, you know what, to sort of identify what we're looking at and what we should be focusing on, that kind of thing. But I mean, from what I'm gathering from you, there's a lot more, especially from training the martial arts or getting into these other theaters of visiting, of course, this human dynamic. Attention is a very, very large exponent of being human. So the question is, in terms of opposition or obstacle, what we're trying to overcome here through the engagement and the exploration through your seminar or your online program that you've also organized, which looks pretty interesting as well, is that the attention that's the enemy? Is that what we're trying to, the opposition, or is the enemy something else, or is the opposition something else coming in essentially and taking away our attention? And before I let you answer that, like for me, I find that, everywhere I look, I find that I'm, you know, being pulled. Like, for instance, Netflix as an example is it's a pretty common interest today. And clearly it needs our attention in order to enjoy Netflix. Mm-hmm. And you hear about people binge watching Netflix and their weekends, you know, get sort of flushed away or whatever, or children are watching their movies and shows. And in our lives as well, we've sort of really pushed it to the side, you know, it's because of my background in martial arts and things that I understand, but still it's there. It's even with my children, especially, they want to watch shows. You know, they want to watch programs, you know, there's this feeling is that if they're not watching shows, they're not up to date, you know, with what's going on to some extent. So that sort of conversation, that vocabulary isn't there when they're meeting with their friends. So they kind of feel somehow ostracized, or they become ostracized. And there's all these things that are happening around us that circulate, you know, and sort of motivate and push us, from what I'm feeling, especially with my children, to do things that they may not otherwise do. And in a way, it's almost orchestrated this way, is that those that, of course, really understand, you know, what the power, as you were mentioning earlier, of our intention is that there's this real, real good ability to wave the magical wand, because they really understand how to work the hocus pocus and getting people to focus and funnel their attentions where they want their attention to be, rather than us, essentially, what I'm feeling, where we're governing our attention, and we're able to put it where we want it to be, where it needs to be, where it will elevate our lives, improve the quality of our lives, you know, our relationship with each other, with our children, and all the rest of it, which is very hard when you have this, where I get this feeling as though there's constant opposition around us, constantly trying to take that, you know, sort of control it and veer it and manipulate it and, you know, sort of and twist it in a direction that might not be in our greater interest, certainly not for our children. So as parents, you know, you're constantly on guard, but it's very easy, I find, as a parent as well, to succumb to that, to kind of give into it, because it's just a constant pressure all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So you kind of feel like you're failing sometimes as a parent. You know, my kids are playing video games. My kids are, you know, doing things they shouldn't do. You know, my child's got a violent tendencies. You know, how do I help them with their violent tendencies? My child's sad. My child is feeling this. My child's going through that. And of course, so are we. So it's almost like, you know, as we're trying to keep our head above water, you know, in a world where our attention is constantly being pulled against, of course, us in directions that we might not otherwise need it to be, we're also trying to keep our children and their head above water, essentially, while there's this experience of them sort of, you know, a fear to some extent as a parent that they are, of course, or could go below the surface of the water. We want them to be happy and confident and to be, you know, self-fulfilled and to be, you know, sort of emotionally sort of centered. And we want all these wonderful things for our children. And I think a lot of parents would agree, as I know I feel, is that there's this constant push and pull. You know what? I've got to compete as a parent for my child's attention while their attention is being pulled. So then really going back to my original question, as I've sort of, you know, sort of shaped it for you in terms of why my interest in this is, as a parent, especially, not just as a sensei, as Basil's Jay running the dojo and doing all my art, really as just a dad, you know, as a parent, you know, really is the enemy our attention itself? Is that what we're trying to overcome here and trying to understand? Or is it something outside of ourselves pulling against this? And there's your question.
So we can use the term enemy, but when we use the term enemy, it creates a negative connotation that sort of feels a little bit hopeless. So you can think of it as opposition or enemy, but I would think of it more like bringing balance to a state or a system in your own mind. So every person has a certain amount of attention, and we're all the same that way. We have this power. Now, in order to not feel so bad about your attention being pulled or your kids' attention being pulled, understand that it's absolutely normal for attention to be pulled away. There's nothing we can do to stop our attention from being pulled away from us. And there's also nothing we can do about having our mind wandering away from us. So this is important to understand, because sometimes we'll get frustrated that our attention's being pulled, our kids' attention's being pulled, or our mind is wandering, and we get frustrated that we can't seem to maintain control over our attention. That's not the point, because it's actually impossible. Our attention will be pulled away, our kids' attention will be pulled away, and our minds are going to wander. So where the hope is, and where the battle, where the fight is recognizing when that happens. That's the first step to empower yourself to have more control over it, is to first recognize that is going to happen, and it will happen every day, every few seconds even. So as part of the exercise in this workshop is understanding how we can become more aware of when this is happening, which then empowers us to make a choice. Because as our individual power states, we have choice as individuals. We can choose to say, I recognize my attention has been pulled in a certain direction, and now I choose to bring it back and refocus it on something else. And that is what we can do. That's what our power states that we have. So it's all about learning how to do that, how we can also teach our kids to do that through certain breathing exercises, through focus, through activities that we do. So martial arts is an activity that teaches techniques that allow us to learn how to recognize when our attention is being pulled away and then reorienting it back to something. Because of the nature of the physical movements and the breathing of martial arts, it's very similar to what psychologists are saying about how to do this. And that's why I'm making the connection between psychology and martial arts, because the techniques are very similar. The ones that martial arts has developed over the last several hundred or even thousand years, because of the necessity of survival in battle, you had to have good control of your attention. If you didn't, when you were in battle, you wouldn't live as long. So survival depended on it. Nowadays, it's different. Nowadays, it's not so much about survival, it's about our experience, our optimal experience in life. And we can use those same lessons to increase our experience of life, to increase our effectiveness and efficiency by having that control of our attention. Not to say we're going to prevent it from going away, but to say we're going to recognize when it does and choose where we want it to go after that.
Yeah, it's powerful. So as a father going, you know, sort of attending this seminar, and I'm going to be learning, am I learning some martial arts moves, you know, as what you're saying, and through those moves, they're not necessarily going to be geared, I suspect, to physically going to defend myself, which is what I might expect if I'm looking through the glass to see what's going on in the class without hearing any of the dialogue. I might assume that the movements themselves that we associate with fighting and conflict and self-defense would be, of course, applied to a physical threat. And that's kind of where you really arrive at martial arts quite often when we're looking for self-defense, is that it starts as the physical threat. And then, as you were mentioning a moment ago, or slowly over time, you know, we begin to understand that the physical threat is just the beginning of all of these other threats in a way, or these oppositions or obstacles that are also bombarding us every single day, and learning how to, of course, manage this, for lack of a better word, this battle, and by controlling our attention so we can survive them essentially better, and we can have a much better quality of life and, of course, relationships with those around us. If we're constantly being pulled against ourselves, it's very hard to connect when part of you is not present or your attention's where it shouldn't be, that kind of thing. And as a parent, as a dad, I really want to be connected to my sons, and I really want to be connected to my children, especially also as a teacher. I want to be connected to my students. And I find that even myself, with all my experiences, that is, like you said, there's just no way to get around it. My attention, even with years of meditation, my attention is pulled, but being aware, you know, of it. So we're going to the seminar and we're doing it, and I'm doing a move, and that move, I'm guessing, becomes some kind of what, metacognitive way of beginning to connect with something that I'm having a hard time maybe, you know, sort of imagining or shaping or identifying with. Is that kind of the idea, where the martial arts becomes sort of the vehicle, the physical movements I recognize outside myself, rather than being against a physical threat, you're using them in your program to create something that helps an individual begin to look inward from where they first recognize something physical as the threat? Does that sort of make sense?
Yes. So you can go both ways. We in the workshop, it's not going to be too much specific martial arts movements. We will go over things like punches and blocks as a way of demonstrating how to incorporate certain exercises into martial arts. But also, we can take from martial arts certain pieces. So breathing, for example. We do a lot of different breathing and breathing techniques in martial arts. We can take the breathing component out and create an exercise just around breathing. Or we can take the idea of flexing our muscles, connecting that to breathing, and then take that out as an exercise, not for the purpose of defending ourselves physically, like in martial arts we do, but for the purpose of going home and doing a short exercise to work on this strengthening or fortification of attention. So we can use breathing exercises and simple basic physical movements to connect with our mind and our body and become more aware. It's called meta-awareness, to become aware of our attention, where it is. And so that's what we're going to see in this workshop, is breathing exercises, visualizations, and some simple physical movements, muscle flexations and things like that, that we can take home to do day to day, or we can take and put it into the martial arts to strengthen our martial arts training as well. Because by doing things in a specific way in martial arts, we can actually strengthen our attention even more so than just sort of passively going through and learning the movements as many people do. One thing I wanted to say about attention is that you can have sort of a passive approach to attention or an active approach to attention. So if you're sitting watching TV, it's mostly a passive approach to attention. And that is sort of a minimal state. You're just using as much attention as is necessary to absorb that information from TV. But it doesn't have as much of a psychological benefit to you, and it doesn't strengthen your attention and your optimal experience of life as much as if you were actively choosing to deploy your attention in a specific way that requires some effort. It requires you to overcome a challenge. And that's one key thing as well about these attention exercises and why martial arts is so important. Martial arts isn't easy. It's not simple and passive. It's an active activity that takes mental effort and physical effort. And with that mental and physical effort, we are strengthening our attention and our experience of life much more than just a passive experience.
So you mentioned martial arts a number of times. We got to finish up soon. So you've mentioned it a bunch of times. When I think of martial arts, if I put myself in a frame of mind like my children or most people who have no experience, where they've witnessed some sort of semblance of martial arts, whether it's most likely on social media to some extent, you know, videos, you know, video games or movies, you know, the sort of that entertainment sort of aspect of it, the real dynamic, really cool moves, superhero stuff, you know, it's exciting. It's really exciting, you know, and then you kind of get into it and you're all excited. And then as you start to work at it, as you know, you begin to realize, depending on where you've entered this martial arts scope, which is of course quite broad because you have the more of the, you know, the introverted sort of aspect of it where we're going, you know, into ourselves and understanding where it links into ourselves through Tai Chi Chuan, Qigong, you know, Nai Chai sort of internal sort of aspects in a way to the other extreme, which is the external that we really, of course, recognize initially. And so when I'm thinking about martial arts, I'm coming along and I'm thinking, okay, like I'm going to be doing these moves and I'm going to be fighting and all the rest of it. And the way that you're explaining this course essentially is that martial arts has all of these attributes that are there to help us begin to better understand a relationship that we're having with our attention, where to put our attention. Is this, you know, unilateral for all martial arts? Is martial arts, when you say the word martial arts, is it a generic term that points out to a unilateral sort of experience, no matter where I enter, whether I enter it from the sort of the internal Nai Chai sort of Tai Chi Chuan sort of way or approach, or the extreme, which might be more of the mixed martial arts approach, you know, the boxing, you know, the sports competitive side, or maybe even beyond that, more into the entertainment side, where I'm doing it for nothing more than the focus on how do I entertain individuals with my martial arts skills or my movements? Or is this somewhere in the middle? So when you're saying martial arts to me, as an individual who may not know, a parent who may not know about what martial arts is in that way, who hasn't thought about it in that way, how could I kind of look at the word martial arts as you're using it in your language?
So there's such a range of martial arts, and I think it's important to think about what the goal is for you. A lot of people, as you've mentioned, enter martial arts because they're interested in defending themselves or improving their confidence or competing and fighting, things like that. Martial arts, to me, is the development of myself. And I think where you get the most benefit from exercising your attention and some of these exercises is in self-improvement, self-development, and growth, so moving forward. When we put effort into something that we do, and we do it for the sake of being a little bit better ourselves tomorrow than we were today, that is where you see the most benefit. And also, even more important than the most benefit, is where we see the most happiness and the most fulfillment in how we feel about what we've done. So studies have shown that when you compete, if your mindset in competition is you have to beat the opponent, you have to defeat the enemy, you won't have fun. You won't enjoy that experience. You'll do it, you're motivated. But afterwards, it's not going to feel like it was worthwhile as much as if you were trying to beat, not beat, but better or grow some component of yourself through that activity. When you do it that way and you have that mindset, it could be the same activity. So you change your mindset. If you change your mindset to, I'm doing this because I want to grow, I want to improve myself. When you reflect on that activity after you've done it, some of the best moments in people's lives are those kinds of moments where they struggle a little bit. It may not be pleasurable in that moment to do that thing, but it is the best experience of that person's life because they had to overcome some kind of struggle internally that they chose to have. So that kind of internal battle that helps them grow as a person. And that's what martial arts does for me. And I think that's, you know, with any sort of martial arts, if that's your mindset, if that's your goal, then that's a kind of martial arts you can do that will have these benefits. But if it's only focused on beating an enemy or winning something for the sake of defeating something else, I think you'll find, and you can have your own experience to determine, that it won't be as enjoyable, won't be as fulfilling as an experience, and you won't grow as an individual as much.
Okay, that helps. So, I mean, I could really literally enter looking at martial arts rather from just in general the way I look at it. And just when you're saying the word martial arts, I should be approaching it to some degree as this generic thing. I'm not looking at it as though it's this classical karate, this is the right way kind of thing versus that way. This is not about competing between, you know, sort of somewhere within the spectrum of how we might recognize martial arts to be. It's about just looking at it in general, really generalized when you're talking about the word martial arts. You're not saying, you know, it's this way or that way. It's not really about that at all. Mm-hmm. It's just the benefits of what the training itself, regardless of where you enter that spectrum of martial arts, really offers. And then your program is really about extrapolating and pulling in, using that essentially as a vehicle to better understand something that, of course, is this, let's say, imbalance or a competition, if you will, for our focus, for our attention. And then the idea of reward would be the success in winning back or keeping our attention when it's been taken or when it's been lost to some degree. The program or the seminar, the short seminar, is going to kind of give me an insight or a little peek into some of the exercises that I can do. And even if I walk away with the seminar, I'm guessing that it's also about just recognizing that I do have this very powerful, thing inside me called an attention. And it does deserve my attention, to focus on my attention, so that, you know, I can improve the way that my life is unfolding. And of course, there's a lots of benefits, I suspect here, a relationship with my partner that might, you know, be decaying, like maybe my wife, or, you know, our relationship's decaying because we're working so hard on trying to pay for that house. Our attention's on, you know, trying to pay down bills. Our attention's on paying for going on that vacation. Our attention's on, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and making sure our kids in soccer, baseball, basketball, everything else, martial arts classes, whatever the case is. I'm trying to be the best parent that I can be. And I just kind of feel sometimes that I'm thin. I feel sometimes that I've lost myself to some degree. There's like too little butter being spread over too much bread in my life. So I don't feel really a sense of substance with myself. I'm kind of on the treadmill, as it were, you know, kind of thing, right? So this seminar is going to really help me in some way, I guess, to initially just recognize, you know, where I'm at, what is mine, my property, my sovereignty, I guess you could say, you know, these attributes that belong to me. And maybe to some degree, I guess, you know, take notice of that so that I begin to put it, you know, in a position in my life where it has real value, not just something that I possess that I'm not aware entirely of its great value, but maybe somebody else or someplace else does understand its value, which is marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sports and entertainment, whatever. It's really about knowing about the value of our attention and playing up to it. I think many of us can kind of relate to that, but even going a little bit further, you know, down and really sort of getting a little bit closer to the root of it, I guess you could say, right? Is that kind of the idea if I'm gathering this?
Yeah, you'll get some knowledge about that, but also techniques that you can use to begin strengthening your attention and fortifying your resilience against the busy life. So I want to tie it back to, you know, the title is Karate for a Busy Life. And it's all about not making your life less busy, because that's not always realistic. It's about being resilient in the face of a busy life. One of the best things you can do for your loved ones, for your family, is have this awareness of your attention and work on your attention. Because when people are connected closely together, you want to have a nice close connection with your kids, your family, your wife, your husband, listening, connecting on a level you know, human to human level, it only happens when you can give someone a large amount of your attention. So it's a gift. If you have control and awareness of your attention, you can package it up and give it as a gift. And if it's being pulled in all sorts of directions, and the problem is you're not aware, because most people are not so aware that their attention is not really with them, they can't give it as a gift. And then communication becomes more difficult, connection feels less close. But if you can have that power to package up your attention and give it as a gift to someone else, you're going to fortify your connections and your closeness to those who are closest to you.
Am I being, in a way, I'm a good dad. I drive my children here and I drive my children there. I make sure that they go to school. I make sure they're eating the right food the best that I can, you know, that kind of thing. We go on vacations and I'm providing all this to my children. Is that the gift of my attention? Or is the gift of my attention, you know, in terms of the way you're speaking, something more like sitting down and creating something with them? Maybe, you know, not watching maybe necessarily a program with them or a TV show or a movie, but maybe playing a game of chess with them, you know, or going outside and playing basketball with them, or, you know, going for a walk in the woods with them, you know. And when you're talking about the gift of attention, in what way are you talking about this gift of attention, if I could better understand it?
It's hard to explain it. It's easier to feel it. So if you can imagine a time where you're having a conversation with somebody and the person is listening to you, they're looking at you and they're standing there and they're nodding their head and Oh, I got to go to lunch. Was the person really giving you any attention or not? You feel whether they are, because maybe their attention in their mind is on the next thing they're going to do. And if that's true, they're not giving you their attention, you will feel that. You'll feel like this person just isn't listening to me. They're not connecting with me. They're not here with me right now. And that's what it is. You can be with someone, but not be with them, right? Because if your attention is somewhere else, you're not with them, because your experience in life is dictated by what you're paying attention to. And that's just the fact. The fact is that whatever you're paying attention to, that constitutes your life. So if your mind is, and we call this mental time traveling, if your mind is mental time traveling, where you're thinking about the future or you're thinking about the past while you're with someone, they will probably feel that you're not there. And if you're there, meaning that your attention is firmly placed on exactly what that person is saying, the meaning behind what they're saying, the feelings, the emotions of that situation, you're engaging, you're listening actively, they'll feel your presence. And that's what I mean by the gift of attention, is that you decide your mental resources and those cycles in your brain, your psychic energy is all focused on that person at that time and not traveling somewhere else. And if it does, you're not a bad person. I want to emphasize that, because it will. This is the battle. So maybe when you mention who's the enemy, where's the enemy? The enemy is, you're always fighting for awareness of where your attention is, because it will leave you, even at very important critical moments. And you can't feel bad about that, not to judge yourself, only to say, I have the power to recognize that my attention is elsewhere and I have the power to bring it back. And if you can do that, you are well on your way to succeeding and giving that gift.
Well, you could say to be there and to be present is the gift.
Yes.
Is the idea, right? Hence the presence being gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason that I really wanted to ask some of these questions, as we were talking earlier the other day, is that, you know, I'm really hoping to see more interest in your program, because I think that what you've organized over the last number of years, we began, you know, sort of having these discussions about my art and the direction that I'm going. You had some of your ideas. And I think that sort of that you went off on your own and began to look at it in a way that you do, especially through the psychological lens more. I know your background's deeply situated in the science of things. You know, I have more of a creative way of looking at things to see what works. And there's a nice complement between you and I, where, you know, yours is about proving, you know, and establishing, looking at data, you know, and using that sort of to reinforce the value in mind. And of course, is more about the experience of it and doing it to support the value. But now when you're speaking at the seminar, you actually are bringing both in. You're bringing your experience of the martial arts and your training and your years of study and looking at it from more of this Eastern sort of, you know, philosophical sort of background and point of view in terms of health and well-being. And you're also bringing in the science side, and you're really merging, you know, these two into your program, especially the one that you have organized online for people. I think it takes a number of weeks to get through, you know, so many hours a week to do it, which this seminar might be a great segue to leading into that. Again, when you're talking about, you know, really the battle is about refining our sense, I guess you could say, of that we've lost this gift, essentially, where it's being pulled from us. And by refining our sense of that, which is really what this is about right now, not entirely, but this seminar that you're coming up with now for the weekends, next few weekends, is to be able to pull that back and to say, no, that's not where I want it to go. I want it to go here. This is where I want to and who I want to give it to. And in that regard, you're saying that that's a big leap. So having asked those questions, I think you've really helped me better understand a little bit more about the seminar. And I'm really hoping that a lot of the parents at the school that are just like me, they have their own young children. My children are 8 and 10 years old. Some of you parents out there, the children are younger or a little older. But as parents of children that are involved in the martial arts, more specifically the DAPO, we have a very unique way of looking at martial arts. I would definitely say in the world of martial arts, and many of the parents that are out there that are listening or maybe watching this, of course, are aware of how unique the school's unique point of view. But I really feel strongly that there is, in terms of this education of, as Alex was mentioning, to now I'm speaking to the moms and dads out there, to this martialistic theme, in not that it's about giving your child something, you know what, which is the martial arts by bringing them there, but really about giving yourself something. You know what? So that you can, of course, also be a part of their transformation as you and I are also transforming as people through the act of parenthood itself. And that in itself is an obstacle. Parent, let's face it, being a parent is a big obstacle. So we want to do the best we can. We want to be refined as the best we can. There is no protocol book or manual on how to be the best parent. Though many books have been written, it seems that there's far more failure, and from failure there's also strength and growth. And that's part of also the martial arts theme, is that we learn from the mistakes that we make, not trying to always avoid them. We're put into positions where we have to, of course, now adapt, and through that adaptation from those errors or flaws or obstacles, hence the seminar as well, is that we're also able to grow, which is going back to what Alex said earlier about the idea that, you know, that it is not about the immediate reward and just the pleasure of it, where you get something from the seminar and go, I got it. Here's a martial arts move. I can defend myself. He gave me a really nice statement. I'm going to post it on my refrigerator to remind myself of something that has value. This seminar and his work is really about, you know, putting your attention, as he's mentioning, into something that will give you more of a balance and a reward that comes from time well invested. In, of course, the refinement of yourself is the goal. So not to say, yes, I got this great quote, I got it offline, and I'm going to put it on my computer, and it's going to pop up every 10 minutes to remind me of how wonderful I am. I'm going to put it on the side of my coffee cup. And this is really wonderful stuff, and it might give me a little stimulation there along the way, make me feel good. But what he's talking about is real transformation. And that will take time, and it's going to take investment. And I can't think, as a father, I can't think of anything in my life that is worth more of my time than my children. And as I refine myself and I improve myself, subsequently, my children also benefit. In a way, as I elevate, so too will my children also rise. We tend to think of it as parents as self-sacrifice, right? Right, Alex? We're sacrificing for our children. And that's also another area I know you'll touch on eventually with your program. Is that we can't, there is no benefit to self-sacrificing. You know, the real benefit is also, you know, when the air in the plane, you know, the pressure in the plane drops, is that, you know, they say you got to put the mask on yourself first. Well, as parents, we have to remember that as well. And that's kind of what the seminar is about. That's why the dojo's hosting this, the DAPO's hosting this. And what Alex has come up with now in his program, in his research, in his experience, in his wisdom in this particular area is really, of course, to assert an interest in, you know, saying, yeah, when cabin pressure drops, when things are not going so right, which is life, I got to make sure that I put this on me first so that I can also now help my child. Not just help them and suffer myself. And even though we're beautiful and wonderful for doing so, as parents, we got to take care of our health, our mental well-being. We got to take care of our spiritual, of course, roots. These are really important parts in being a parent. So if we don't invest in ourselves, I'm really getting at that, stressing that point, we're really going to have a hard time helping our children. If you can't just send them to martial arts and send them to school in hopes that they're going to be great, It really behooves us as parents in this world to do the best, to be the best version of ourselves for them. And that's, of course, why I think a seminar like this is so important. And I really feel strongly we will all get a lot out of it. I will be at the seminar. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the parents from the school there. And as a participant in the seminar, I'm going there not as Basil's Jay or Sensei. I'm going there as a dad. I'm going there as a parent. That's my reason for going. And I hope that some of you will join me as well.